Good morning. Welcome. That song always is such a gift. Thank you, Daniel Namad. Anyway, welcome and good morning. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear, and you are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Welcome, everyone, to CSL Midtown. Broadcasting to you this morning from Atlanta, Georgia. We are so glad that you have joined us today. We welcome all people, no matter who you are or where you are in your life. Our center reflects the beautiful, diverse tapestry of life that is everywhere present. So we welcome you, whoever you are, and whatever path brought you to be here today. We know that you are an individual expression of the divine life in which we all live. You are welcome to participate here today and to become part of this community in whatever way serves you and whatever way serves the greater good. We hope that those of you who are watching our broadcast on a social media platform, such as Facebook or YouTube or anywhere else that I don't even know about, will like and share this with your friends. For a better understanding of who we are and what we teach, listen now to our Declaration of Principles as written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Some of the wonderful practitioners and board members from our center doing that. Also, just know that the full declaration is available on our website at cslmidtown.org. My name is Judy Ailey, and I am the moderator and practitioner for today's service. This morning, I am excited to say that we have yet another fabulous guest speaker, and I will introduce her a little bit later. But remember that the theme for this year, 2024, is Grand Rising. And today we continue with our monthly March theme of That's How We've Never Done It. And this week's talk will be entitled Won't, Will, Did. How many times have we been fearful when faced with a life-changing challenge or just facing the unknowns of life? Some of us have been studying this teaching for a fairly long time, and we've gotten to the point where we have awakened up in a deeper way to the truth of ourselves as spiritual, divine human beings. But the big question that looms in my mind is, so what are we going to do about that? Is there something that we need to do about it? Now that we have this deeper awareness of the truth of who we are, what's next? What is the next step? I invite you today to release the need to figure it out. I invite you today to release that urgency to try to find out and control all those details. And instead, I invite you to tap into your inner guidance and to let that inner guidance lead you to new territory. That inner guidance is the voice of spirit within us. How do we embrace a larger expression of God in our lives? What is on your bucket list that would stretch you into a bigger expression of you? What's in your way, or what do you think is in your way? can we move from our limited views of just surviving to encompass the notion that we can thrive, that we can be beings of total health, abundance, love, joy, peace, beauty, wisdom, creativity even. For me, the next steps are found through my inner guidance, through the voice of spirit that speaks to me and through me. So I say today, let go of struggle and strain and the notion of trying to figure it all out. Instead, surrender to your inner guidance, to the presence of the one mind. We know that we are here to live large, that our lives make a difference, that we each have something important to contribute to the beautiful, diverse tapestry and evolution of life. So let's open our hearts and minds to tap into what that is for each of us. Of course, if you have a burning inner passion towards something that you are certain of in your life, know that this is spirit speaking through your desires and follow that. And as you follow that, the next steps will become clear. With those thoughts, I'd like to lead us now in a spiritual mind treatment, which will be followed by music for reflection. And as I offer these words in the first person, please accept this treatment for yourself. All right, just allow yourself to relax and to get comfortable wherever you might be, all out there in the world listening to this. And as I do that, I just take a couple of breaths to allow myself to be present fully in this moment. And as I do this, I recognize and remember that God is all there is, that this presence and power is one whole united principle, is a power for good, and it is everywhere present. In all the things that appear outside of me, every piece of nature, every other person, every situation, every country, every part of the world, and inside myself, that this is all God, that it is one universal unified presence for good, and that I am never separated from this presence, that I take this moment and this time to allow myself to be aware of the connection that is always there, of the full connection, the complete connection, my complete immersion in this presence and in this power for good. And knowing that this presence and this power is all love, all healing, all creativity, all fabulous new ideas and wonderful things in the world, as I know that this is the truth of this oneness that I am immersed in, I know that I create my experience through my thoughts, through my beliefs, through my expectations. And today I just take time to know that which I am desiring in my heart to experience, that experience is mine, that this unified unity, oneness, wholeness does not withhold from its creation. It only desires to express through us in greater and grander ways. So today I accept for myself full, total, and complete vibrant health. I allow healing to take place in my body, down at the very minutest cellular, molecular, atomic level, knowing that all is in perfect balance and in perfect ease, and that this is my natural state of being, a state of being that is alive and vibrant and full of energy. I allow this presence and this power and this spirit to speak through me, to guide my thoughts, to allow me to listen to its voice within me, to know the next steps to take in my life towards any particular situation that I may be dealing with, towards any creative project that I am undertaking, and just in my life in general, that the next steps are there for me to understand and to know as I become quiet and listen to the voice of spirit that does express through me and as me in my thoughts, as I take that time to be quiet and to listen. I turn away from any ideas of struggle and strain or lack or limitation, knowing that this is not the truth of me, or of separation, because I know, because I am never separated from this presence, this power, this goodness, this love, this wholeness, that all is well in my life. I know that today's service is absolutely fabulous, and that every person that is listening is absolutely in the right and perfect place and receptivity of mind to hear the words and to hear something that will allow them to experience life in a deeper, fuller, more meaningful way. I am so grateful for being here today, for having this opportunity to hear our speaker, to connect with others in my community and into the world. So I'm so grateful for this. I release this treatment now, knowing that words are powerful, with the great expectation of knowing that all is well. And so I'm so grateful I release this now. And so it is. Today is our speaker is Reverend Dr. Michelle Whittington. She became an ordained religious science minister in 1998 and served as the senior minister for a religious science church community in Phoenix, Arizona for almost 22 years. She is also a licensed Art of Feminine Presence master teacher. Additionally, she is a certified Real Love coach as well as a positive intelligence coach. Reverend Dr. Michelle left the pulpit ministry in 2018 and began her new ministry as the founder of Unleash Your Life Consulting. In this new role, she is a national speaker. She offers classes and workshops and one-to-one mentoring, all aimed at empowering those who want to open themselves to fully embrace their dreams. And in 2022, she became the executive director of the Affiliated New Thought Network. I hope that you will join us after the service at cslmidtown.org on our Zoom link to meet with Dr. Whittington and just discuss her talk. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Dr. Michelle Whittington. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Judy. I really appreciate that introduction. That was a lot, but thank you so much. It's really my joy to be here. Thank you for the invitation, CSL Midtown, and everybody who makes this service happen. I just really want to give a shout out because, you know, this just doesn't happen automatically. There's a lot of people behind the scenes making sure things go smoothly and work perfectly, and it does. So thank you for making it really easy for me just to pop in here from Phoenix, Arizona, early, by the way, in the morning, and be with you. So I have a question for all of you who are watching and listening, and that is, have you ever been presented with an opportunity, like a big opportunity? Or maybe you have had an idea, a divine idea that is, it's bigger than you've ever done before. And rather than say, oh, yay, you say, no way, I can't do that. It's too much. It's too big. It's too scary. I don't know how, all those things that come up. I suspect we've all had that. So if I were in a room with you and I could see you, I would say, raise your hand if that's happened. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand anyway, even though I can't see you. I know that there are hands being raised, that that's happened for all of us. But then maybe if that has happened for you, you start to think about it more. It actually won't leave you alone. This idea or this opportunity won't leave you alone. It just keeps nagging at you like, you really, this would be a good thing for you. This is where you want to go. This would be life transforming. It just won't leave you alone. So you give it more thought. Maybe you pray about it. I hope you pray about it. That's always a good thing, to pray about it. You journal about it. You talk to every friend you know in the world about it. And you start to realize that, yes, I maybe I should do this. And your should turns to, I will do this. All right, I will face my fear. Thank you, by the way, Judy, for that beautiful opening reading. Perfect for today. I will face my fear. And as Karen Drucker sang about, just do it. So you start moving forward to do this thing. And then all these roadblocks hit, challenges, issues. And you start thinking, well, I thought I was supposed to do this, but maybe I'm not. Maybe Spirit's got another idea for me. And then you go through that journey and ultimately you either do or you don't do the thing. Well, this morning, I want to tell you about an experience that I had that was won't, went from won't to will to obstacles to did. And more importantly than telling you my story, what really is important is what happened for me in the deepening into my spirituality, in the ability to remember what I know, but sometimes forget, and the ability to practice these beautiful teachings that we have in science of mind, in religious science, in new thought, that help us navigate life. So I'm going to tell you my story, and hopefully that's okay with you. And within that story, you're going to learn a number of, or you're going to be reminded probably, because you probably already know them, going to be reminded of a number of spiritual lessons. So here we go. First of all, my won't. I want to tell you about my big won't. Last October, I was invited to a leadership retreat in Ahmedabad, India. And it was a leadership retreat called the Gandhi 3.0 Leadership Retreat. So it was based on Gandhian leadership principles. And there were 40 leaders from around the world who were being personally invited to this event. And I was humbled by the invitation. I was honored to be considered for this. And to be 100% frank and honest with you, I was terrified at the prospect of going. Going to India has never been on my bucket list. I know there are many people who go and, you know, they find a spiritual awakening there. But frankly, India scared me. Too chaotic, too difficult, too challenging, too scary. And frankly, the thought of traveling halfway across the world by myself, even though I'm a pretty independent person, that also didn't ring my chimes. So despite being honored, I had an internal no. I can't do that. But I have to admit, I didn't say no to the person who invited me. I said what sometimes we will say as a little bit of a stalling tactic. And so just let, you know, tell me in the chat or talk to me later when we come back after this time and have a conversation together. If you've ever used this stalling technique, which is, let me pray on that. So I said, let me pray on that. Now, the good news is I actually did pray on it, right? I did pray on it. I did journal about it. I did think about it. And I did something really powerful for me. I asked a question that I know to ask. And the question was, what gifts and opportunities are being presented here? And I did that in a prayerful, meditative state. What gifts and opportunities are being presented to me here? And when I asked that question, I got what I like to say, a full body yes. It was a yes, actually in the form of a thought, which was, this is going to be life transforming for you, Michelle. And you cannot not say yes. So my first spiritual deepening here, my first practice, my first offering to you is that if you're facing something that's been presented to you or it's come from within you that you scares you, but it won't let you go, ask that question. What gifts and opportunities are being presented here? Because here's what I know. Within every single one of us, there is the answer because the divine lives in us. And so there is a divine answer to that question, but we have to ask it in order to get the answer. And I love this quote from Ralph Waldo Trine, fooled you, not Emerson, in his book, In Tune with the Infinite. Ralph Waldo Trine is considered one of the fathers, one of the many fathers, founders, if you will, people who began the New Thought movement. So in his book, In Tune with the Infinite, he wrote, "There is an inner spirit or guide that rules and regulates our lives when we are brought into that state or condition whereby it can make itself known. That question, what gifts and opportunities are being presented for me here, puts us in the state or condition to let spirit guidance be known in us." So that's what I did. I asked that question. I got a full body yes. Now here's the deal. Even if you get a full body yes to something and you know you're going to move forward on it, it does not mean there won't be fear. Darn it, I wish it did. I wish that meant we wouldn't be afraid, but it doesn't mean that. And I learned that great lesson when I walked on fire with Edwene Gaines. Some of you probably know her. She's a beautiful spiritual teacher on prosperity. And she had a retreat center in Mentone, Alabama. And I went there for a retreat and it culminated with a fire walk. And I was 100% guided to walk on fire. And I was equally terrified to do it. And Edwene gave us some advice that is my second principle for us this morning, and a principle that I followed in this journey. Now I've gotten a yes, I'm going to go, but I'm still scared. When I was standing at the threshold of walking on fire, Edwene said, "Here's how you're going to do this. You're going to take a breath. You're going to expect the best, and you're going to take the first step." Take a breath, expect the best, take the first step. And what you will find is that what felt like a wall of fear is really just a veil, and you'll walk right through it. Ernest Holmes says in 365 Science of Mind, "We should all learn to live in a state of joyous and enthusiastic expectancy. This is the principle upon which faith or the answer to prayer is based." Take a breath, expect the best, take the first step. That's my second spiritual lesson here this morning, and my own personal spiritual deepening as I went through this journey. And so what was my step? And I did have to take a breath. I did have to expect the best. What was my step? My step was to say out loud to the person who invited me, I will take this journey. I will come to this leadership retreat. I will travel halfway around the world to a country that scares me so that I can have life transforming experiences that I don't even know what they'll be. So then I started preparation, and I will not go through all the details that were required. But one thing that I had to do was to get a visa. You have to have a visa to go to India. And again, I will not give you all the gory details of the arduous journey that I went on to get this visa, but it was filled with roadblocks, such as not once, but twice, I was rejected for the visa. I don't know why. They don't tell you why. I was just stamped on an email stamp, rejected. Must be my shady past. I don't know. It caught up with me finally. They found out. Oh, no, but I was rejected. And so we decided to go a different way. I was working with some people from the organization that held this event. And they said, we have to go a different route. We can't do the e-visa, which we were trying to do. It's not working. So you need to apply to the consulate, the Indian consulate, and there's one in San Francisco. I didn't have to physically go there. I'm in Phoenix. I didn't have to physically go there, but I had to fill out a whole new application, a whole new process, lots more information. And I had to mail in everything, including my firstborn child. Well, okay, not quite, but it felt like it. But the one thing I did have to mail in was my passport. I had to mail in my passport, which caused me a bit of consternation, the thought of mailing in my passport. By the time we're here, by the time I'm mailing this in, it is 10 days before I'm supposed to leave. 10 days before I'm supposed to leave. And by the way, I had called the consulate to ask them some questions, and they told me in no uncertain terms, the minimum amount of time it takes to get a visa approved is 15 days. sometimes 60 day, up to 60, but 15 is the minimum. I had 10. Here comes spiritual lesson number three. I trusted. I trusted this. If this is mine to do, if this is mine to do, I will get this visa. And if it is not mine to do, I won't. I also, second part of this was I surrendered. I surrendered the process and I surrendered the outcome. Oh, that's a big one. Take a breath on that one. How often do we not trust? Do we not surrender? We have to, as the reading said this morning at Judy's reading, it was so perfect. We want to control things. We want to control the outcome. We want to control how it happens. Trust and surrender. And so I trusted that I could put my visa in an envelope, or not my visa, my passport, and send it off. And I trusted that if I was supposed to go to this event, to this trip, I would. And I surrendered the process as well as the outcome. I popped that in the mail and I let go. I had taken every step I knew to take. On the eighth day, so I mailed it on the 10th, 10 days before I was to leave. On the eighth day before I was supposed to leave, I got an email from the consulate in San Francisco saying, your paperwork has been processed and is being returned to you. My paperwork has been processed and it's being returned to me. Nothing about whether or not I actually got the visa. So, okay. At least it's coming back. Now, here's a miracle. I'm hoping you're noticing a miracle. I was aware of the miracle. And the miracle is this. I was told it would take a minimum of 15 days to process this application. They turned around it in two days. They processed my visa application. That itself is a miracle. So on the Monday before I'm supposed to leave for India, not knowing if I'm going to go or not, trusting and surrendering, taking my steps, expecting the best, breathing, I receive in the mail, I have visual aids, I receive in the mail this overnight package, that I had provided to return my paperwork. With excitement, I must admit I was pretty excited to get this. I open it, I rip it open, and I find in it this. This is what's in it. Nothing else. Nothing else. No notice, no letter, no visa, no rejection, no nothing. Simply my passport, which, by the way, I was very grateful to have back. I flipped through it. I don't see anything. I say to myself, well, I guess the universe has answered my question. Am I going or not? I've trusted. If I'm supposed to go, I will. I'll get the visa. I didn't get it. It's not here. So I was actually okay with that because I really was in the trust and surrender. And so I sent a word out to a lot of people that were very curious about whether I was going and were following this journey. And I said, well, I did not get it. I did not get the visa. I'm not going. And I have to say, I am so overwhelmed with gratitude, not just to have this back, but gratitude for these lessons and deepenings that I got to experience. The practices, the spiritual practices that I teach and that I believe, I got to practice them. And I got to live them. And I got to go on this journey. And I'm so grateful that I got offered this beautiful opportunity. And it is okay that I'm not going. One of the people that I had sent such a message out to was the person who invited me. He lives in India. They're 12 and a half hours ahead of us. So I sent that mass email out about 12:30 p.m. my time, which was 1 o'clock a.m. their time. And so it was many, many, many hours, about 6.5 hours or so later that I get, and I can feel the urgency in a text. I get a text from my friend in India who invited me. And the urgency in the text, I felt the energy of urgency. And the words were this: did you look inside your passport? Did you go through every single page and look? And I thought to myself, I said aloud, well, I looked, but then I decided to go through every single page, and I'm turning pages. And finally, halfway through, my passport is, if you can see this, a visa to go to India, which, by the way, is good for 10 years. Right in the middle, here it was. So I want to add a fifth spiritual lesson, spiritual learning. And the fifth one is, be willing to look beyond what you think you see. Because the miracle might just be hiding in plain sight. So my won't, to my will, to my I'm not sure, to my I can't, to my I did, happened. Because I did go to India. And I did have a life transforming experience. And in the couple of minutes that I have left, I want to tell you about one concept that I heard a lot about in the 5 days of this retreat. Remember, the retreat was based on Gandhian leadership principles. Now, I know who Gandhi is, of course, but I've not studied his life. I know he freed India from British rule. I know that. I know he did it nonviolently, but as I said, I have never really studied Gandhi. I didn't know him deeply. I know him much more deeply now, and what he stood for and how he did what he did. One of the terms that we heard a lot of was a term that Gandhi lived by, and it's called soul force. Soul force was defined as an inner strength, an inner wisdom, an inner knowing that we have when we abide in the eternal. Oof, that just makes me have chills. I'm going to say it again. It's an soul force is an inner strength, an inner wisdom, inner knowing that we have when we abide in the eternal. Ernest Holmes refers to soul force in his book, It's Up to You, when he writes, "Let us know that the kingdom of God inhabits every soul. No one has ever tried and failed in a conscious union and cooperation with the universe itself." That's defining soul force. That's saying what the power of soul force is. Here's what Gandhi said in a writing about the power of soul force. And this was his philosophy in life. "Having flung aside the sword, there is nothing except the cup of love which I can offer to those who oppose me. It is by offering that cup that I expect to draw them close to me." He said to the people that he didn't oppose people. And I know in our religious science, we don't like to use the word oppose. We don't have opposition. I understand that. And I'm using that word because Gandhi used it. But he said he didn't oppose anyone, but he did oppose practices. He did oppose oppressive behavior. He did oppose India being ruled by England. But he said directly to people who were oppressing him and his people, he said to them, "I do not believe in what you are doing, and I do oppose what you are doing, but I love you." and I will do no harm to you. This is soul force coming out here. This is what soul force does. He said that I will, well, he didn't say, but it was said about him that he was nonviolent. He did everything nonviolently. I've learned that it was so much more than that. It was so much more than nonviolence. He did everything with this deep, profound love. So much so that he actually spent a great deal of time before he did his work in India. He spent a great deal of time in South Africa. And he worked for the rights of Indians living in South Africa to get them rights that they did not have. And he did it with love, nothing but love, never any violence, never physical, never anything like that, just love. And the when he finally won the rights for the people that he was trying to do, that one of the generals who opposed him vehemently, who was his, let's quote unquote, enemy, said about Gandhi, I was honored to lose to that man. That's the power of soul force. When he did that in South Africa, the people in India, the government, the Indian government, the powers, the Indian powers in India were watching him and were wanting him to come back to India and free them from England. And he finally did go back to India. And they said, okay, let's go. Now let's do it. You're going to now lead the charge. And he said, no, I'm not ready. I'm not internally ready. He didn't use these words, but I'm going to paraphrase Gandhi now. What he meant was, I need to deepen my soul force so that I can come from the purest possible place before I lead us to freedom. And he spent 15 years in prayer, in meditation, in contemplation, getting himself ready to do the miraculous work that he did to free India from England. Your spiritual journey might not be for you to take 15 years in basic solitude, deepening. But my question for you this morning, is, what is it? What is a deepening? How might you go deeper, deeper, deeper into how you abide in the eternal? What are your spiritual practices? How could they be expanded? How could they be deeper? And I offer you these ideas that I have given you this morning, which I'm going to reiterate, as ways to deepen your soul force. So the first one is, when you are presented with this opportunity, with a divine idea that you say, no, 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 I can't do it, at least ask the question, what gifts and opportunities might this present to me? Ask that question. That takes you deep within and gives you the space to hear the divine's answer. And if you get a yes, like I got a yes for India, that doesn't mean the fear is going to go away. Just know that it doesn't mean the fear is going to go away. And so then you follow the beautiful advice of Edwin Gaines, which is take a breath, expect the best, take the first step. The third, trust life to be unfolding exactly as it should and surrender the process as well as the outcome as you continue to take your steps. Number four, be in gratitude no matter what the outcome is. Be in gratitude. Number five, be willing to look beyond what you think you see, because the miracle might be right there in front of you. And finally, do whatever it takes to continue your deepening of your own soul force. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Namaste.
Namaskar. Thank you so much, Michelle. What an awesome, awesome message this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now it's our opportunity to give. And for receiving so much good that we get with these messages each and every week from these wonderful speakers that we attract. So if you would, with me, you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate. You can scan the QR code on your screen. And if you will, say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So I'm going to hand it over to our board president, Lee Huffman, for some announcements and taking us out. Thank you.
Thank you, Vance. Thank you, Reverend Michelle. That was amazing. The principles. I've traveled to India many times before, and I understand how that feels. And traveling around the world is always an exciting time with a lot of things that you have to commit to. So thank you for that. Everything that we do in our life, we need to commit to things like that. Judy, thank you for meaningful spiritual mind treatment and for making everything work today. For those of you that would like to talk more with Reverend Michelle and Judy and others in our community, you can join us online on the Zoom link. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. As you know, we're going through an amazing transition process here at Centers for Spiritual Living Midtown. Your transition team continues to work on your behalf to bring great speakers who are working. They're also working behind the scenes to make things happen in our community. So thank you for that team. Starting in April, we'll be looking for members of the new member selection team. Members of the team do not have to be located in Atlanta because our community is everywhere, thanks to the internet. And the team will be made up of 2 regular members, 2 practitioners, and 2 board members, and I get a set on the team as well. So there'll be 7 of us in all, and we'll have a process that we'll go through that will take quite a bit of time. So our current plans have us bringing on a new full-time minister sometime in 2025 because we want to do it right, and we want to have the funds able to pay for the new minister. And CSL Global, the global office, estimates that the process will take 12 to 18 months as we get started. And so we're going to get started. We are getting started already with the criteria for who can be on this. And minimum criteria is that you're a member of the center today and that you've taken some of the basic CSL training. And we are actually going to be offering some more of that training or pointing you to some more of that training in case you haven't qualified for that yet. But so if you want to apply, send us an email at info@cslmidtown.org or send it directly to me at president@cslmidtown.org. So either one of those will get to us. In the meantime, you can help us center in 3 different ways. First off, praying or treating for the center to prosper. This way we can remain online, move forward with our plans to bring on a senior minister as soon as possible. And please include the transition team and the new selection team who will be guided by divine wisdom as we make our decisions as a center. Second, we need increased giving. As Vance spoke about, we want to get a steady increase in giving of $2,500 per month. It's not a lot. That way we can be sure that we won't run into situations where we can't do some of the ministries. And we can actually do more ministries if we get up to $5,000 a month consistently through those of you that are sustaining us. Those of you that are already sustaining members, thank you very much for what you give. If you can give more, great. And if not, then we understand. Please enjoy what we have to offer you because the universe continues to give to all of us. Third, invite your friends. As Judy said at the beginning of the service, please, on Facebook, like our messages and on YouTube as well, and then repost the services each week so that we get more and more people coming because we like to share this message out with everyone. So the upcoming events this next week, Sunday from 10 o'clock to 10:50, please join the adult study group for an in-depth discussion on religious science and other topics. That is a great discussion that is on Zoom, and I'll talk to you about that a bit. Then next Sunday, our talk will be from 11 to 12. Join us online with Reverend Ron Fox for our celebration service. We'll be continuing our focus on the month, and we will talk about the theme of surrendering into a new life. So you can get together with us right after this and continue our discussion with Reverend Dr. Michelle Whittington and Judy and other practitioners and other members of the center. Just go to www.cslmidtown.org, scroll down to where it says Zoom, note the 6-digit code and under the word Zoom, and then click on it. It'll bring up the Zoom forum, and then you put in the code to get in and become part of that meeting. So great stuff today. Thank you all for all of it. Bless you all. Please join me in the closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is.